have a question for you. Have you ever left your house or your home, only been gone maybe 5-10 minutes, and feel like you forgot something?
Every day.
As you get older, that happens more and more. You know, it's just inevitable, isn't it? You get in the car and you just feel like something's missing. Whenever I go on vacation, you know, you pack everything. As soon as you get to the airport, you're like, I know I forgot something. And that's just the way we are. You know, our wives leave curling irons on. My wife's always like, did I leave the iron on? She knows what an iron is. I admit it. But there's those times in life where you just feel like something is missing. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at a story about a man who comes to Jesus looking for something. He's looking and he's searching, and many of us find ourselves in that place. And this man, we don't know his name, but Matthew tells us that he's a young man. Luke describes him as a ruler. And all three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell us that he was rich. So we call him the rich young ruler, the one who comes to Jesus asking Christ a question. And it's interestingly enough, he's the only person that ever leaves Jesus sad. And so it's a reminder to us that when we come to Christ seeking something, we must be prepared to receive whatever it is he tells us to do. And I think that is really the theme of this message, really, because I've entitled this message, Having Everything Can Equal Nothing. If we think we have everything, and we come to God searching, and he tells us there's things that we're lacking, and then we're not willing to make some adjustments, willing to make some changes, what's the point? See, we can have everything in this world, but it can equal nothing at the end. The only thing that truly matters is our relationship to God through Christ. So maybe you're here this morning and you're searching for something. Maybe you're searching for the meaning of life. Maybe you're searching for the purpose that God has created you. Maybe you're searching for that perfect job, that perfect spouse, whatever it is. I hope that we would every single day search for something greater that God would want to show to us. Because truly, we are a work in progress, aren't we? Hopefully we're better this week than we were last week. Hopefully we've made some improvements. Hopefully we've made some adjustments to be more Christ-like, to live our lives more godly. I ask you this morning, is there something you're searching for? Is there an answer you would like God to give to you? And I would like you to prepare your heart to potentially receive that answer today, but also have the heart to receive it in a way that you're willing to say, yes, Lord, I will do that. I will change that. I will seek that. I will get rid of that, whatever it may be. Because this rich young ruler came to Jesus seeking something, and I think, honestly, personally, I think he was looking for a loophole in his life. And that, to me, is a dangerous place to look for a loophole. How can we convince God that what we did, even though we know it's wrong, that maybe in the right light, it's okay? Now, Jesus is gracious enough to be honest with us. Jesus is gracious enough and loves us enough to tell us the truth. And anybody know that the truth hurts sometimes? Truth isn't easy, it's hard, it's difficult, but if we truly adapt to the truth, it certainly is the way to live. People today are searching for something. They don't know what it is. They can't figure out, they can't put their finger on it. They can't understand, but they're searching for something. And maybe today, you're also here searching, and maybe God's going to show you. Now, in 1987, the band U2 recorded a song. If you're old enough, you may know this song. You already know what I'm going to say. I have run, here's one of the lyrics. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls, only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Is that the description of your life? You've run, you've crawled, you've searched, but you haven't found that thing that you're searching for? At the end of the song, it refers to Christ even. It says, you broke the bonds, you loosened the chains, you carried the cross of my shame. Of my shame, you know I believed it. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We can go through life searching and searching and searching and may never find what we're looking for. But I wonder, will we ever discover what God wants to show to us? Again, what we want compared to what God wants. Later in his life, Bono was very open about his faith. And he said at the end of it, in fact, in the last probably 4 years, he finally had an interview with Focus on the Family. He says, I finally found what I was looking for. I was looking for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think, guys, and the reason I share that is because, listen, we're all searching, we're all seeking, we all want to come to God. So something's missing. That's where I was when I was in my early 20s, in an Easter service. I was searching for the meaning to life. What's the purpose? What's the point? I was already married. I had a good relationship with my wife, but it just seemed like something was missing. And on that Easter, Christ came into my life, and it was the best decision I ever made. And maybe you've given your life to Christ, but there's still something that's just not right. I think today we're going to learn God is willing to speak into our lives and help us adjust things so that we are getting exactly what he wants for us, exactly what his purposes are. See, Bono was looking for a relationship with Christ. And here we see a story that 2,000 years ago, a young, wealthy leader was also coming to Christ looking for something. And I wonder, was he looking for a relationship with Jesus? Probably not, because if he did, he would have received it. He would have embraced it. Look with me at verse 17 in Mark's Gospel, 10th chapter. It says, now as he was going out on the road, that's Jesus, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, you gotta love Peter. Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Let us pray once more, please. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, I pray that these scriptures become a part of us. I pray as we've now just read them and have looked at them in our Bibles and heard them in our ears, God, I pray that they would be implanted into our hearts, that there is such rich truth in this picture of this rich young ruler. And I pray, Lord, that this man would speak to our lives even today, that we would look for those things that maybe in some way are hindering us from a close and intimate personal relationship with you. Even if we confess you as Lord, Lord, we pray for those things that hinder that relationship. So bless us as we study, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A couple things I want to point out about this man. We certainly don't know his name. The Bible doesn't tell us that. There's a few things I want us to pay attention to. Number one, he came at the right time. He came at the right time. And I'm not talking the time on the clock. He's a rich young ruler. And if you were here last week, we talked about the best time to come to Christ is what? As a child, in that time of youth, in that time of seeking. And so he's a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus at the right time. He came to them, he came to the right person. There's a lot of things we can search for in life, but who are we going for that? Who are we searching for? Are we searching for Jesus? Are we coming to Jesus to receive those answers? So he came to the right person. He came with the right energy. He was running. He came with the right attitude. He knelt before Jesus, and he came with the right question. How can I have eternal life? So in a lot of ways, this man came in a right attitude. But isn't it an interesting contrast? He left in the total opposite attitude. He left sad. He left brokenhearted. Because he was what? He was trusting in his wealth. He was trusting in his riches. What a contrast we see. This man was not happy. This man came to Jesus wondering what he could do to inherit life. And he walked away with seeing what he was unable to do. Because Jesus told him, just do this, and you'll have eternal life. Wouldn't you love that? If God would tell you exactly what he wants you to do? Right? Question is, would you do it? Would you do exactly what God told you if it was absolutely written out in black and white, or it was audible? If God said, do this today, would you say yes, sir, and amen, or would you say, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. Can't fit that in my schedule. I mean, would we give the excuses? No, we got to be a people that are coming to God with the right heart and with the right attitude and with the right ability to say, Lord, I will do whatever you tell me to do. Because do we know that his ways are better than our ways? Do we know he knows what the future holds? Do we know that he can do the absolute impossible? I mean, we've even read it here today. So if he's telling us to do something, he's not doing it so he can trip you up and laugh at you. He's doing it because he knows it's the best thing for you. There's six things I want to look at. I know that seems like a lot for me. So we'll see if we can get through it. If you're taking notes, write these down because I find them to be so rich. The first thing I see here as we look at the beginning of this story is that Jesus will probe your heart to expose any competing gods in your life. Let me say that more quickly. Jesus will probe your heart to expose any competing gods in your life. See, Jesus knows you personally and intimately. He knows you so well. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what your emotions are. He knows what your attitudes are. And he knows what it is that makes you who you are. And he will, as a gentleman, come into your life and say, these are the things I want to work on in your life. These are the things I need to get out of your life. And so when Jesus knows exactly what you need and what those things are that maybe hinder your relationship with him, he's going to very gently and very calmly work in your life to help those things come out. We all have those, what do you want to call them, hot buttons? Those things in our lives that just set us off. And Jesus oftentimes allows those things to happen in our life to get our attention. And so that's what he's doing with this rich young ruler. It's interesting to me that this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what should I do to inherit the kingdom of God? If you're here and you're a New Testament believer, you would think he would say, believe in me, the one whom the Father has sent, right? Isn't it interesting what Jesus says to him? Keep the commandments? Why does Jesus say this? Let me tell you, because he knows this man's heart. This man is coming to Jesus to figure out a way to inherit the kingdom of God without completely giving over to God. Okay? Jesus says, look at it. Look with me. He says, in verse 19, you know the commandments. Now, here's the thing. Every Jewish man knew the Ten Commandments by heart. They could repeat the Ten Commandments to you just as easily as you and I want. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And if I skipped one, you'd be like, whoa, he missed the number 6. They would know. And so Jesus is saying, keep the commandments. And then he lists them. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but did you notice the ones that Jesus lists? He lists all the commandments that have to do with our relationship with each other. If you know the Ten Commandments, if you've heard this, 4 of the commandments, the first 4, deal with your relationship with God. Right? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, have no other gods before him. And all of those, you know, keep the Sabbath day holy. So there's four that have to do with your vertical relationship. The rest have to do with your horizontal relationships. And so that's where Jesus is going. Did you also know what the man called Jesus? Did you notice that? He said, good teacher, right? And how does Jesus respond? There's none good except God. So what Jesus was telling this man is, you're calling me God? That's what Jesus is saying. If you're calling me God, what is the number one commandment? Love God. What does Jesus know this man struggles with the most? Is his wealth. See, his wealth was his God. And so he is probing this man's heart that he's saying, you have not put God first in your life. And I'm going to show you that based on your relationship with other people. Because there's also a commandment that says what? Do not covet. And it's interesting, of the ones that Jesus lists, that's the one he leaves out. So that the rich young ruler can go, excellent, I've kept all of those since I was young. You want to talk about bold, right? Can you imagine standing before God? Yeah, I haven't committed any sin. I don't know anybody that can do that. This man comes to Christ and Jesus says, keep the commandments. And I think this guy's going, I got this. I've kept those. But then Jesus turns it on him, doesn't he? One thing you lack. And that was about his wealth. He says, you want to inherit the kingdom of God? Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And that was the one thing in this man's life that was keeping him from a complete and total surrender to God. I want you to take a minute, and I want you to think in your life, what potentially is in your life that God would come to you and say, give that to me. Surrender that to me. I don't care how good of a Christian you are. I don't care how faithful you are to God. There is something in our lives that we're still working on, right? None of us can stand here before God and say, hey, I've got it all together. Anybody? Anybody want to stand up and take my place? No. So there's something in your life that's been a challenge. There's something in your life that maybe even God's been trying to probe and trying to seek after, say, give that over to me. Surrender that to me. The other danger here about this area of Scripture is that many of us in this room might think, man, in order for me to inherit the kingdom of God, I have to be poor. I have to give away all my wealth. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. That's what this man's hang-up was. Jesus doesn't do that with everyone. In fact, what was it? Nicodemus, he was wealthy. Joseph of Arimathea, he was wealthy. Jesus never said anything to them about giving up everything and following Christ, because that wasn't their hang-up. Their hang-up was pride. You know, if possessions is your God, then God's going to deal with you there. And I think that's a very important thing to understand when it comes to stuff. I mean, we live in a day and age where stuff is so important, isn't it? Our stuff. Take away your kid's phone for a day and tell me how happy they'll be. Take away your own phone for a day and tell me how happy you'll be. It's about stuff, right? And God doesn't want us to be living for stuff. So if possessions is your issue, then yes, God is going to deal with you on that level. But it can be a lot of different things that God is dealing with in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit right now may be working on you and probing your heart, asking you, what is that thing? What is that activity? Or what is that person that is getting in the way of my relationship with you? Think about that for a minute. And if something comes to your mind, I want you to write it down. Maybe you've already written it down, but maybe there's multiple things. But if you're not going to make a commitment to write this down and to think about these things, then you're not willing to let those things go. You're just like the rich young ruler saying, I don't want it. I don't want all you have for me. I just want to live my life the way I want to live. So if there is something that you're going to write down or something that you're going to think about or something that you're going to note in your phone, now commit that to God and say, what do you want me to do with this? How do you want me to? Because again, Jesus will probe your heart to expose whatever it is that competes against him. And if we're willing to surrender it, our relationship will be better with him. The second thing we see is Jesus provides a personal solution to remove any of those competing gods. The solution was, go sell all your stuff. If you truly want to have a relationship with God, if you want to enter the kingdom, sell all that you have. What's he say? Pick up the cross and follow me. Because it's not just, again, this rich young ruler wants to do something, right? Isn't that what we want before God? God, just tell me what to do. Just show me what I can do to inherit the kingdom of God. How many people here know that there's nothing you can do to inherit God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, and eternal life? There is nothing you can do. Jesus did it all. And maybe it seems simplistic, but I'm thankful it is. I was just sharing with someone the other day, God calls us sheep. And the reason is we're dumb. Sheep, it's not a compliment, right? It's like sheep don't listen. They don't do what you tell them to do. And so God calls us sheep because he knows he needs to keep it simple. And so he says, you know what you can do? Obey me. Put your trust in me. And so this man's problem. He wanted to do something. And it's so sad to me in the church today when we think we can try and inherit something from God or inherit God's grace. You know what we can do? We can fall on our knees before God and say, I can't do a thing. Thank you for doing everything. Because when you come with that attitude and that understanding that there's nothing you can do, then God can use you. And this, I want to say this too. If possessions is something that you struggle with, the answer is right here what Jesus said. Give it away. Give it away. The best way to overcome you keeping your stuff because it's yours is to make sure it's available to give away to someone else. It's something that God has showed my wife and I since very young in our Christian walk. Be willing to give stuff away because it's stuff. And if it blesses someone else, let it bless someone else. Whatever it is. A coffee, a ride somewhere, whatever. Just be willing to be available to give it away. Because that keeps your fingers off of it. If you really believe your stuff belongs to God, guess what? Doesn't matter. Right? What did Billy Graham say? If we wake up one day and somebody says Billy Graham's died, don't believe him. He's just changed address. I like that. Because what? The man lived for the Lord. And if we can do anything in our lives, we can make sure that the stuff that we have is sitting there on the altar of God, ready to be used by him. Your gifts, your talents, your treasures, all of those things. Life is so much easier that way, my friends. Because if you're sitting here today worried about, did I set the alarm on my house? Did someone take my TV? Did somebody steal my... That's yours. In fact, I even heard of a guy who said he was a pastor, that someone called him and said, Pastor, your house is on fire. He's like, no, it's not. No, really, I was just down your street. Your house is on fire. He's like, no, it's not. It's not my house. It's God's house. And if it's on fire, that's God's problem. That's a pretty good attitude, isn't it? Could any of us do that? If I said right now, hey, we just heard your house is on fire, I'm thinking you're leaving. You're gone. Right? Because it's ownership. It's ownership. What do you love the most in your life? And don't give me the Christian answer, I love God. We should. We should love God, because if we do love God the most, that other stuff won't matter. If we do love the spouse next to us, I saw some of you pointing, that's good. Some of you husbands are getting some pointers. But if it's a thing, if you love your phone, I mean, I'll admit it, I love technology. I also hate it equally. It's so frustrating, you know? When I go on vacation, I don't take pictures because I want to enjoy my experience, right? And hey, I love people that take pictures, especially those that you took on our missions trip. It was great, so we had a record of it. But I get back home and my wife's like, well, what was your trip like? I got 3 photos of it. You know, here's the meal we ate, here's the bus we were on. And it's like, I want to live it. I don't want to live it behind my phone. And I'm not saying that because any of you are doing that are dirty, rotten sinners. Well, maybe. It's just me. It's learning, because that's the thing that I enjoy is technology. But I don't want technology to be my life. So are there things in your life that are getting in the way? Jesus will give you a solution to remedy that, to change that. Notice here with me in verse 21, because I think this is so important. Then Jesus looked at him. He says he loved him, which I love. This Mark is the only one that tells us that, and we'll get back to that. And he said to them, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me." Verse 22, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Notice it says, if you give everything away, you're not really losing anything. If you give it all away, you'll have treasure in heaven. So really, it's not giving your stuff up, it's transferring ownership of it. It's moving it into a different place. It's a much greater treasure when it's a treasure in heaven that will last with us. Because aren't we going there? Aren't we going to be in heaven for all eternity? So shouldn't we be investing in the future and not investing in the now? Because that stuff you can't take with you. But if we can invest in the future, we get to enjoy it for the rest of our life. And so Jesus is telling him, listen, your wealth is just in my hands now. And when I have it, I can use it. And I think we can be very fearful of that in our relationship with God. Whenever we surrender something to God, we think we'll never get it back. I mean, when you take something from your child because they're using it too much, does that mean you're never going to let them use it again? No, it's just time for a break, right? take time off for that. I think God adds to it. God adds to it. And notice it says that he loved him. I think that's so important that we talk about how God loves the world and he died for the world and he certainly has and he loves everybody. But it's also a greater and more in-depth understanding if you realize God loves you. He loves us, right? That's one thing. But he also loves you. He loves me. And I don't know about you, but that changes it for me. I'm thankful God loves everybody. It helps me to be nicer to people that God loves. But it's also a great reminder to know that God loves me, rotten me, and rotten you. He loves us. And I believe if this man was willing to do what Jesus said, I believe potentially we could have a fifth gospel. I believe we could be reading a story about his life. But because he denied it and because he turned away from it, we don't even know anything more about this guy. So he's fallen away in history, no remembrance, nothing. Oh, if there's anything you can do in your life, again, talking about having everything can equal nothing. At the end of your life, if it's just your possessions, if it's just your bank account, if it's just the stuff you're leaving for your kids, not that those are bad things, but it's about you and the legacy that you're leaving when you're gone. Will people remember you when you're gone? I don't think it'll be anytime soon that anybody forgets about Billy Graham. A man that God blessed this generation and touched the lives of hundreds of millions of people. But I also think about that. Do you ever look at someone like a Billy Graham or someone like that and go, man, I want to be like that? Why isn't there more people like that? Why aren't there more people that are impacting millions and millions of lives? And I don't have the answer. I'm just asking the question. And I wonder if it's just not everybody has to be that successful in ministry. I think God loves you just as much if you're as successful in your home, that all your kids are believing in Christ, that all your friends know that you love the Lord and come to you when they're having a hard time. God looks down, well done, good and faithful servant. Those are the things immediately I think about when someone like a Billy Graham passes away. Well done, well done. Because now we'll have a reminder of a man who lived his life for the Lord. Not saying he was perfect by any means. But all the millions of moms and dads that are raising their kids in a godly home, I think God's just as pleased with. So don't ever get to that point. I think it's good to strive for those things and to desire that greatness, that God would use us in that way. But I would imagine Billy Graham would say, I'm no better than you. I was just willing to give it over to God. And this guy was not. When it comes to possessions, I mean, I always like to bring up this verse. Jesus says this in Matthew's gospel, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. Man, we're so wealthy in this country that we don't even realize it. That's why I'm thankful that God allows us to go on missions trips to see how a lot of the world lives. To me, it's great to be able to go with a group of people who live in America, go to a third world country, and let them see how blessed they really are. Because I don't care how many pictures you watch, I don't care how many videos you look at, unless you're in it, smelling it, tasting it, you don't fully understand how blessed you are to have a seat to sit in with a cushion on it. Again, it's not that big of a cushion, I get it. But it's a seat. It's heated, it's air conditioned, right? I mean, that you, every night you get to lay your head down on a pillow in a soft bed. There's so much we take for granted. And so it's an opportunity for us to make sure that our stuff belongs to God. Because you can't love both. You can love God and love your money. He says you can't. You can love God and he can bless you with finances, but they're not going to be yours. They're going to be his. They're going to be under his control. Having everything can equal nothing. In Luke 10, a lawyer came to Jesus and asked the very same question. What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus didn't say, sell all you have and follow me. Again, that wasn't what he was dealing with. This man was dealing with pride. So he looks at this man and says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer's like, oh, I got him. Who's my neighbor? Thinking, oh, for sure he's going to tell you my Jewish brothers and sisters. And what does Jesus do? God tells him the story about the Good Samaritan. Again, dealing with the pride issue in this lawyer's heart. He would have walked around a Samaritan, the half-breed Jews, so he was dealing with that. God will deal with you, and he'll deal with me with whatever those things are that hinder your relationship with him. Our little gods, our little things that we spend a lot of time with. That to me is always the most convicting thing. If I look at a day of my life and I ask, what do I spend the most of my day on? Is it mostly with God or is it mostly with myself? And my desires. That's how you know if you're giving it over to God. And these are things that happen over time, guys. That God just gently works these things in our lives. Is God speaking to you this morning? If you've heard his word, he is. And don't deny it. I mean, I think sometimes we hear from the Lord and then we go away and we doubt what we heard. We're not sure maybe it was just an emotional thing. Don't miss this opportunity where God is speaking into your heart right now about something that is hindering you. The last thing I want to look at, not only does Jesus probe us, our hearts, for anything that's competing, he gives us a solution to deal with that. And the third thing I want to look at today is Jesus offers eternal life, but he won't force you to follow him. Isn't that a good thing? He doesn't force anyone. See, I'm the kind of guy that I want people to make their own choice. I don't want to force them to do anything. I don't want to discourage them from it, certainly. But it's your choice to follow Christ. It's your choice to how determined you are to live the Christian walk. And it's our friends and family's choice whether they accept Christ or not. And I know it should be a greater burden on my heart for people, but it's like, you want people to have what they want. As long as they understand, as long as they know, listen, if you accept to deny Christ, you don't get eternal life. You don't get that relationship with him afterwards. So they need to understand. So here Jesus isn't going to do anything to convince this man. He's just put it out there. And actually there's an artist who did this painting. His name's Heinrich Hoffmann. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's called The Rich Young Ruler in Christ. It's hard to see. But this is the rich young ruler. He's in all of his wealthy garb. Here's Jesus. And then those are the poor people in the background. And this basically the scene in a picture of the rich young ruler Jesus saying, just give everything you have to the poor. And notice the face on the rich young ruler. He's considering it. I mean, there's so much going on in this picture. He's considering what Jesus is, to give up all I have. And you got to understand, he was so wealthy, he was going to have to give up a lot. And sometimes we have to give up a lot. And sometimes it seems like it hurts a little bit. You know, there's someone in my life right now that is so close to believing in Christ. But I know he's just thinking, I have to give up so much. I have to give up my drinking. I have to give up relationship with multiple women. I have to give up all this. It's a heavy burden for the world, right? They don't understand. They don't get it. When you gave your life to Christ, did you have to give up a lot? Yes? Was it worth it? Yes. You've experienced the worth of giving it up. They have not. And so for this rich young ruler, he's going, I have to give up all my wealth. He worked his whole life for that. And, which we'll get to probably next week, is that the disciples are actually astonished at Jesus saying this to him. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you give it all away. And it's like, in this day for the disciples, if you were wealthy, they believed God was blessing you. That's why the disciples later on go, well, then how does anybody get to the kingdom of God? Because we're looking at the wealthy people as people that are being blessed by God. See, depending on what you feel about wealth, I think God can bless you with wealth, but I also think the enemy can bless you with wealth. Right? I mean, think about the sports industry, the TV industry, the millions of dollars that people give to actors and entertainers. I think it's a weapon that the enemy can use to do the very thing that's this rich young ruler. It's to put another God in your life so you don't get to the real God. And that's not to say there aren't Christians in any of those things. It's again, what are you depending on? What are you relying upon? And so for this rich young ruler, he turned away. And he walked away from Christ. And it is a reminder for us that every now and again, maybe we do the same thing. Maybe one day God's speaking to you and asking you to do something, and you just, it's too much of a price to pay. Those are reminders for us. This is a reminder for all of us to live every single day open to the prompting and the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life to say, don't do that, do that, stop that, consider this, give this up, bring this in, because God knows what you need. God knew what this rich young ruler needed. This is the last thing I want to talk about. God is omnipotent, right? All powerful. God can do anything. Right? Do we believe that? He can do absolutely the impossible. We've seen him do it, right? The absolute impossible. But in this area is the only area God will not overrule. And that is your will. He lets your will be under your power. He could have sat there and continued to minister to this guy, continued to explain it, but no. His choice was his choice. And so it's the same thing for us. We have God's divine grace and his omnipotence and his abilities, but we also have our own will that God will not touch. I wish he would. Do you sometimes? Like, I tell God, use a big bat to get to my hard head. It's like, please stop me from doing something that is totally stupid. But like Mark reminded us, he loves us too much. And I want to read this. I think this is a good reminder. Jesus showed genuine love for this man, even though he knew that the man might not follow him. Love is able to give tough advice. It doesn't hedge on the truth. Christ loved us enough to die for us. He also loves us enough to talk straight to us. If love were superficial, he would give us only his approval. But because his love is complete, he gives us life-changing challenges. The best thing you can do as a mom and dad is speak truth in your children's lives. Don't pacify them, right? Don't do things just to keep them quiet or whatever it is. You teach them, you train them, and you tell them no when they're not supposed to do something. You tell them yes when they're supposed to do something because you love them. And that's the same thing for God. I'm thankful that God won't leave me to my own self, and it'll constantly speak truth into my life. We need truth more today, I think, than ever. And there's a world out here that's searching for truth, and we have it. We possess it. And so seek that truth, because in the end, this man had everything, but in the end, he ended up with nothing. And we don't want that. We want all that God has for us, because to have everything and to have the Lord means abundant blessings, because God can use you when you're willing to be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh, thank you for the young rich ruler. Thank you for this story that is written in the Gospels. So convicting, God. That even if many of us in this room don't have a lot of money, don't have a lot of stuff, we're still so blessed. But we need to be careful with those blessings. Because many times these things in our lives are barriers, God, that keep us from completely surrendering to you. This rich young ruler trusted in his wealth, trusted in his possessions. But God, if he would have surrendered those things to you, as we'll see next week, you'll add to those blessings. And so let us have that mind today, throughout this week, that maybe we've written some things down, or maybe we've tried to remember in our minds those things that maybe are hindrances in our lives. Work on those things, Lord. Help us to lay those things down. Help us to surrender them and lay them at your feet, knowing that things that we possess, when they're in your hands, are safe. When they're in our hands, they are not. So God, fill us all with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being a good, good Father, and how loved we are. So speak truth to us, God, even when it's tough, and help us to walk that truth. To you be the glory, and you be the praise. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.